Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Does this mean it's over?
Does this mean he likes me?
Are butterflies good?
Am I ever going to meet someone?
I'm tired of swiping.
Am I normal?
But they convinced me that I was somehow internally flawed that I didn't understand.
You can keep waiting for the fairy tale, or you can get on board with the new rules of relationships. If you've seen my quotes in the New York Times, then you know this ain't your mama's love advice. This is Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman. Hello, lovers, and welcome to another amazing episode of Dates and Mates. I had so much fun with you all last week, bringing you the F the Fairy Tale Challenge and connecting with so many of you and hearing your questions and seeing what was on your mind on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, and also on our brand new, well, reinvented brand new YouTube channel at Dates and Mates. Actually, that is the perfect segue into our theme today. The word of the week today is reinvention. There are pivotal moments in our lives, little windows that open up for us to peer inside our hearts and ask, what do we truly want? And are we living in alignment with our goals and values? In the face of challenges and setbacks, which we all go through, we find our true strength through reinvention. It's a beacon of hope that says, you are not defined by your past, but by the potential of your future. To embrace reinvention is to become the authors of our own narratives, constantly evolving and adapting. It's the fuel for personal growth and transformation. And that is exactly what I was thinking of when I titled my book, which is coming out in January. I called it F the Fairy Tale, Rewrite the Dating Myths and Live Your Own Love Story, because we can rewrite. We can recreate ourselves. We can shed our old skin and embrace the unfamiliar. So I want you to let that word reinvention inspire you to chase your dreams, break boundaries, and shatter limitations. Go for what you know in your heart is meant for you. If you're listening today on the precipice of a reinvention of your relationship future or any other aspect of your life, you are in exactly the right place right now. And my guest is the perfect person for you to hear from. Julia Hart is a fashion designer, entrepreneur, and the current CEO of World Group, a fashion talent management group. Julia actually started out her life in a very different place, though. She was raised in an ultra-Orthodox Jewish community, and she was married off to a man that she barely knew at a young age. And that marriage ruled her life for 23 years before she gained the courage to leave. You may have seen her story on the Netflix series My Unorthodox Life, but now Julia is here with us today to talk about how she went from ultra-Orthodox long sleeves to designing lingerie and how you can find your voice and your power in a relationship. Please help me welcome her in with big smooches. It's Julia Hart.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. So nice to see you, Damona.
I am so happy to have you here because we have so much to talk about. First of all, your show, My Unorthodox Life, fantastic.
Thank you.
Someone who comes from a reality TV background, I was like, this is on its own. It's just a fantastic show, but you are so real and authentic. And you, I mean, the show opens with you talking to your kids, your daughter and your son-in-law about sex.
Like, yeah.
Is there anything that's off limits for Julia Hart?
Absolutely not. I am genuinely, I wrote a 400 and some odd page book. I am truly an open book. And I think that as a parent, you know, we want our children to know that they can always get the truth from us, so that they don't go looking for it somewhere else.
That is so true. I have a 13-year-old daughter, and we have very open conversations about everything. She actually, I tried on some of your shapewear, your Plus Body by Julia Hart shapewear.
Yeah.
I tried it on, actually, in front of her.
I love it. Good
she
for
was like,
you.
Oh, mom, it's very sexy.
Can you imagine the word sexy and shapewear in one sentence? Before Plus Body, well, that did not happen. Shapewear was granny panties. It was ugly and embarrassing. Women hate the fact that they wore it. To have the words shapewear and sexy in one sentence tells you everything you need to know about Plus Body.
Yeah, it is sexy. And I've said this on the show before, but I think that the way that you feel like when you are getting ready for the date, I talk a lot about preparation for a date. And I've even told some of my clients before, like, put on a red pair of panties. Like, doesn't matter if he's going to see it at the end of the night or not. They're there for you so that you feel sexy underneath whatever you're wearing, right?
Exactly. That's the beauty of it, is that we need to feel good about ourselves. We need to feel confident. And I don't think that there's all these articles about what attracts people to one another is confidence, is a sense of you're getting to see the real person. They're real. They're, honest with who they are. And what is more confidence inducing than feeling beautiful in your own body and feeling great about the way you look?
Yeah, totally. And I do hear from a lot of people also that, there's all different types of bodies that are attractive to all different types of people. And it really, it honestly hurts when I hear from listeners that they feel like, oh, I got to lose 10 pounds to feel sexy.
It drives me crazy.
I can't meet someone, if I'm looking like this or dressed like this. And I love that you're, in all of your work and all your brands, you're really about empowering people, but, specifically women, to feel confident in their own bodies, whatever it looks like.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. First of all, I love you. I couldn't have said it better myself. You totally get exactly the vision and the image. And that is what it's about. It's about freeing women from all these insecurities that the universe loves to dump in our laps.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, Julia, that you're coming to this place now knowing where you started out. So for those who haven't seen My Unorthodox Life or haven't read your book, Brazen, you lived in an ultra-Orthodox community for the majority of your life. And, I know a little bit. I grew up Reformed. I'm half Jewish. I know.
Oh, good.
Can't tell.
Hello, member of the tribe.
Member of the tribe. I'm glad that you said that, because they're very different tribes.
Oh, yes.
And I'm even learning more about the ultra-Orthodox community. I have coached clients who are modern Orthodox, which
completely different.
Still.
Completely
it's different, but
different.
It's still very different than the way that I grew up. And you've said on the show and in your book, in the Orthodox community, your job as a woman is to be invisible, to not attract attention, which is very different from the way that I coach daters and very different from your message now. Can you talk a little bit about your background and your religious background and how you came to this shift in confidence around your body?
So, my entire life. So I think the simplest way to kind of encapsulate what I lived through there is with three laws. Okay. Law number one is when a man, from the time he's old enough to speak, 2.5, 3 years old, until the day he dies, when he wakes up in the morning, he says a set of prayers. The third prayer that he says is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shelo Asani Isha, which means, thank you, God, for not making me a woman. I heard my son saying that every day, and my husband, and my father, and everyone else, because a woman was an inferior being. Now, law number two, women aren't allowed to study the Talmud or become rabbis, and they're not required to go to synagogue or learn Gemara. Or a woman's greatness is always through a man. She, in her own right, cannot be great. How does a woman become great in my world? Eshes chayel miyimtza. What does a righteous woman look like? What is a woman of valor? She's the one who plows the fields and cooks the food and has the baby while her husband sits at the gates and studies with the scholars. And then there's this concept of Nashim Daitim Kalos, which is that we weren't allowed to study the Talmud or become rabbis. I had an entire bookshelves of books that I wasn't allowed to read. And the last part, of course, is the most, I mean, they're all pretty egregious. And that is that there is this concept that women are responsible for men's sins. So a woman can't sing in public or dance in public or speak in public or in any way be forward facing because a man may look at her and have sexual thoughts about her, and that's on her, not on him. So I grew up being taught that man's behavior is my responsibility, and that the only way to prevent a man from sinning is to disappear myself, and the only way to become a good person is to prevent a man from sinning. So this whole idea that women have to disappear themselves to hide their bodies so that men don't sin is, I mean, obviously abysmal, right? So my entire life, I was told that I had to hide my body because my body is an instrument of sin.
Wow. That's a lot for anyone to carry, but especially when you're so young too, and when you're just forming your
That's
thoughts
right.
and your beliefs and your understanding of the world. And I'm sure there are a lot of people listening who may not have grown up in an Orthodox community, household, but I think there's a lot of women who can relate to what you just said. How did you come to this realization after growing up in that world to come to a place of body positivity and empowerment and, you know, and even like being in the fashion industry where, I mean, the goal of fashion, it's feel good about yourself, but it's also to look good externally. And you came from a background where you were covering yourself every day.
That's why the book is called Brazen From Long Sleeves to Lingerie, because it is really kind of funny. Most of my life I'm covered head to toe. The only parts of my body that are uncovered are my face and my hands. Right? My hair is covered. I have to wear above my collarbone, nothing above my elbow. So it has to be covering my elbow, below my knees, above my ankles, and the space between your knees and ankles, which is kind of a gray area. My version of Judaism, I wore two layers. I first wore stockings and then socks on top. God forbid a piece of leg would show if the stocking would tear. Okay. So my entire body covered head to toe, except for my hands and my face. And then I become the creative director of the world's largest lingerie brand. I mean, it is kind of funny. But, I mean, think about it like, you know, but if you, you know, my entire life, basically, there was this dichotomy between who I was told I had to be and who I was told I am as a person, meaning you're dumber than a man. You're incapable of understanding and grasping deep and esoteric subject. Your only purpose in life is to have children and be subservient, obedient, and silent.
And you can't work. You can't have your own career.
People work in the community, right? They do OT or PT or high school teachers or nannies or nurses. There's no careers, right? Because you can't go to a Stanford or a Columbia. You're going to babysit kids, or you're going to be a teacher, or you're going to do one of the OT, PT things that you could do within the community. So women work inside the community, and I would say 99.999% of the time, there are no CEOs. There are no doctors and lawyers. Now, of course, there's always exceptions to that rule, but it's one in millions, okay? And now, of course, when I first came out and said that, you know, people said, oh, she's exaggerating about that community. And now in the last year, as you've seen, there's been a dozen articles about what's really going on in my high school. And one of my friends sent me a letter that she received in 2020. So now we're talking 30 years after I graduated, where they say, if your daughter's going into college, she's divorcing herself from Judaism and from the community, and you have to write a letter that she's not going to college and all this stuff. So the reality is women are forced into this role. Your biology defines your destiny. And I had this constant fight in my mind between who I know I am as an individual. I'm not dumber than men, incredibly hardworking. I have quick study. I love learning. I'm an intellectual. I've read so many books. I mean, you name it, Euripides, Voltaire, Descartes, Spinoza, Cicero, I have read it. So I was being told that I was stupider, but I certainly didn't feel so. I was being told that my only path to goodness was through a man. But it just didn't make sense to me. But they convinced me
that I was somehow internally flawed, that I didn't understand this. But when my daughter, who was 5, asked to play soccer, and my husband told my 5-year-old that she can't play because, of course, you can't wear pants, which means you have to play soccer in a skirt. And if you play soccer in a skirt, you may kick the ball and the skirt will go up and your knees will show, and a man walking by the field may see you and have inappropriate thoughts. Therefore, you can't play soccer. And let's not even talk about what kind of man gets turned on by a 5-year-old's knees. Just leave that alone for a minute.
Right.
Let's not even talk about that. My little 5-year-old daughter looks at my husband and says, okay. Well, if I'm responsible for his actions, is he responsible for mine? My 5-year-old. And when she uttered those words, it was like this giant handcuff in my mind was released, because they had convinced me I was somehow internally flawed, that I wasn't okay with this. No one can convince me that my 5-year-old, who I had never voiced these thoughts to ever, that my 5-year-old's thinking was somehow flawed. And so hearing her say these very simple, practical, logical words gave me permission to say, it's not me, it's the laws, it's that community. And just as you said, Damona, this is a very small group of people within the Orthodox Jewish world. Most people do not live like I do. This has nothing to do with Judaism. And if you look at the rules that surround my life and the rules that surround women in fundamentalist Islam and Mennonites and any kind of extremist version of something, the rules are all the same.
That women don't have a voice.
So it has nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do with fundamentalism, with using religion as an excuse to imprison women and keep them down.
Wow, that is very powerful. I want to dig a little deeper, but first we need to take a quick break. Lovers, let me remind you of two things beforehand. Our reinvented, new and improved live coaching program. See what I did there? Reinvented. Eh? The Dates and Mates Method is enrolling now. And our live interactive group classes start on Wednesday, September 27th. And I don't want you to miss out. I'll be straight with y'all. I'm only able to offer my group coaching program twice a year. And this is the last session this year. And actually, it might be your last chance for you to enroll in a group until next fall after my book is released. So listen up. If you are considering dating coaching, but you're not sure if the program is right for you, or if you need some immediate guidance on your current dating situation, we have opened up a handful of free mini coaching sessions in advance of the program with my head of coaching, Yogi Marquise. If you're interested, you got to go to DamonaHoffman.com/session to see if he still has any availability. And I promise you, we had over 200 people register for the live challenge last week, and they've snapped up a lot of the spots. So don't wait on this. If you are considering working with me and my team, or you're just feeling stuck and frustrated and you're like, I need a kickstart, I need to do something, the thing that you should do is go to DamonaHoffman.com/session to claim your free session and see how the Dates and Mates team and method could help you find your ideal relationship and also maybe your reinvented self. More on that later. And of course, as we are doing every single episode this season, I want you to stick around to the end of the episode for the love lesson of the week, which actually this week comes with a personal story from me too. Stay with me.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you, lovers, for supporting our sponsors and Dates and Mates. Now, Julia, before the break, you were talking about your experience growing up in the Orthodox Jewish community and how little control you had over your own life. And like, it seems like you've taken all of those experiences and used them to fuel you into this new era of your life.
I just don't take freedom for granted. And so I think when I left, and it is time travel. It is genuine time travel. I lived in the 1800s. I was not equipped to handle the 21st century, which is why most people who leave my community, especially women, end up either committing suicide or becoming drug addicts. It's a real problem because they really are not equipped to handle the 21st century. They've never been on a date. They've never been to a bar or a club. They don't have the societal norms. They don't understand how to function within those societal norms. It's truly time travel. I remember the first time when I left, the day that I left, I felt like I was going into Mars. I was walking into a planet that I did not recognize. And it's really frightening. And it's almost impossible. So, you know, I don't take freedom for granted. And once I managed to escape and do that, I said to myself, well, if I can time travel, I can do anything.
Yeah, sometimes you need those experiences to really give you the perspective. I'm really curious how dating was for you after you divorced your first husband, not having like so much of attraction and communication techniques and all the stuff that I teach on the show. So much of it is learned by watching and by being in situations, right? Yeah.
And in high school, like your first love is generally like in high school, you know, you figure this stuff out. Like I remember, so I'll answer your question. Dating, what I never dated. This is the first time in my life, I'm 52 years old, I'm dating. Because when I first left the community, okay, just, I don't want to say it very, you know, directly, but just say it was freedom in every direction, right? So I wanted to experience sexual freedom as well. So I would say the first 9 months, it was not dating. It was just freeing myself and you know, kind of, well, let's just say the first person I went out with was a 21-year-old Cirque du Soleil acrobat, and then you can imagine the rest.
Oh, my gosh. Go. Wow. That's wild.
So for the first, like, 9 months, it was more about, like, self-discovery than dating. I didn't really date. Right.
Yeah, because sex before wasn't really for your pleasure. It was for your husband and procreation.
No, not at all. Sex is terrible. It was like laundry, dentist, homework with the kids, sex. Like this was just like another chore I had to do that was about as pleasant as going to the dentist. I mean, it was awful. And then when I first came out and I was like, oh, so that's why people like sex. Right. So I would say the first 9 months was just an exploration. I wasn't dating. And then I met a guy who became my boyfriend for 6 months. And then right after him, I met my husband. So the first time in my life that I'm actually purposefully and systematically dating, I'm 52 years old. This is the first time in my life I'm dating.
What have you been discovering? And we should catch everyone up. You and your husband split up. And so now you are single again and ready to mingle. How is it different for you now? And at 52, what are you learning?
So it has been incredibly empowering. You're going to laugh now. You're ready for this. Okay.
I'm so ready.
So when I left the community and I started my business and then, you know, EWG and everything I've done, like I never wrote a book, but I got a bestseller. I never started a show, but it became a successful show. I never ran a company, but I built into a $1 billion business, right? Just because I'd never done something, I put my heart and soul in it. I'm a crazy hard worker, and I accomplished on the business side. What I realized with this divorce is that as far as I'd come here, when it comes to me as a businesswoman, in my personal life, I was still back in Muncie. I was still please the man, forgive him 900 times, ignore the signals. The man is always right. It's your job to make him happy. And that's how my marriage was, right? I mean, I asked for divorce, I think April 2020, and it took me till February to file, 2 years later to file for it, because he would say, I'm sorry, and it's going to get better, and I'm going to be better, and I'm going to be nicer to your kids. And like an idiot, I just kept on letting it happen. So when the divorce started, I realized, wow, as far as I've come in business, I am still one C girl in my personal life, and I have to stop that. So dating has become this incredibly beautiful, empowering experience in the sense that I go on these apps for the first time in my life, okay? And I'll give you an example. So I'm on Raya, and you know on Raya, if you do like Raya Plus, the woman can see if the guy liked her before she likes or dislike, before she does the check or the X. So I'm on Raya and I'm swiping through my feed of who, you know, has been put in front of me. And there's a guy and I see him and I'm like, not for me. And then I look up and I realize that he liked me. And my natural instinct was, oh, well, if he liked me, that means I have to like him back. And I was about to hit yes. And then I stopped myself and I said, no, Julia. His wanting to date you is irrelevant to whether or not you want to date him. It's not that now that he wants to date you, you now have to date him. That's not how it works. You didn't want to go out with him until you saw he liked you. You say no. And when I crossed that X, I felt so strong because I realized this is probably like a very important moment for me that a man said something and I was like, no, thank you. So that was very empowering for me. It sounds dumb, but it was really empowering.
Okay, I just have to say, I'm a dating coach butting in here, Julia, because, you know, you say it sounds dumb and you said, you know, you were an idiot for not being able to divorce for 6 months. And like...
2 years.
For 2 years. Oh my gosh. You said you're an idiot for not being able to divorce for 2 years. And what I hear is that, like you said, there's some of that old programming that's still present. That's not your voice even saying that. That's right.
But that's the thing. I thought I had eradicated that conditioning. I thought I had eradicated all of that brainwashing. And I fooled myself into saying I had eradicated it. But this taught me that as much as I had eradicated in business, I hadn't in my personal life. And this past year of dating, I catch myself.
Yeah.
But now at least I catch myself. And I say, no, thank you.
Yeah. And it feels empowering, right?
It feels good.
Yes. To be able to really know what your standard is and to be able to hold to that. And, you know, even though folks listening may not have been through the exact situation, I think we all have some of that old programming. And I really, we all have it. And I really feel like you break through that stuff, you get to the transformation through action. You know, we could talk about it. You're doing it in business and you're talking about it on the show and but when you actually take that action to say, no, I'm not going to stand for that. No, I'm not going to make excuses for that. This is what my time is worth as a human.
This is actually Jeff Jenkins, my producer, told me this philosophy once, and I think he's 100% right. So I want to give him the credit. He said, Julia, people are divided between gardeners and flowers. Gardeners are the people who take care. They nurture, they feed, they support, they help. Flowers are the give me, give me, give me everything. Give me sun, give me food, give me this. Flowers do not garden. They're flowers, right? So I'm always going to be a gardener. I'm a gardener. I take care of people. That's what I do. I'm the eldest child of eight. My siblings are 10 years. My sibling that's next to me, like the one after me, is 10 years younger than me. And then my youngest brother is younger than my eldest daughter, right? So I raised my seven siblings. I raised my children. I have 11 human beings that I have raised. I'm a mom. I'm always going to be a gardener. But I have always dated and fallen for flowers. And I'm done. Falling for flowers. I would like someone who gardens some of the time and doesn't just say, give me, give me, give me.
Thank you so much for joining me, Julia. You can follow Julia on Instagram at Julia Hart, and that's JuliaHaart. That's with two A's. And learn more about her sexy shapewear. I'm telling you, y'all, I was feeling myself when I did my little try-on. I cannot wait to wear my sexy shapewear out on the town. You can visit Body by Julia Hart. Remember, it's two A's, HAART.com, bodybyjuliahart.com. And you can get yourself some sexy shapewear, too. All of the links will be in the show notes. And now for your love lesson of the week. Your love lesson is to step into reinvention with both feet. You can't have a half-assed reinvent, okay? Like my guest today, sometimes you just have to go for it, even though it might be scary, even though it might be so completely different than the life you are living right now. We have to take bold action to make brilliant shifts in our lives. I actually remember the exact moment I decided to dedicate my life to this work of dating coaching. I was sitting on the floor of my living room watching an episode of Oprah's Life Class, absolutely bawling, because something Oprah had said made me realize that I had been going through the motions of my life. I had done everything by the book. I had gotten my VP title. I had had a child. I was married to a wonderful man. And still, I knew deep down I wasn't doing the right thing, and I knew something else was meant for me. So I went into my boss's office the next day and I gave notice, and I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know if anyone would hire me as a dating coach or listen to my podcast, but I knew I had to take bold action. I knew I had to step into my destiny, and I knew I was the only person that was in charge of how my life was going to go from that point forward. So if there's a call that you've been waiting to make, or a person that you've been waiting to talk to, or a transformation that you've been dreaming about, what are you waiting for? And if that bold transformation begins by making your dating life a priority, please let me and my team help you. We are enrolling now in the Dates and Mates Method live group coaching program. So for anyone who feels ready to begin their process of transformation, we actually have a limited number of free mini coaching sessions available. This is like a one-time thing, y'all, but I really want to help out. I really want to get you some immediate advice and get you some immediate strategies to shift your dating destiny. Go to DamonaHoffman.com/session to grab your time with my head of VIP coaching, Yogi Marquise, if they're still available, so he can hear more about your dating journey and see if we can help you transform and move towards that relationship that you're imagining. And if you know you're ready to make the leap and you know you need support on your dating journey, and you know you want me to be the one to guide you on this journey, let's get on with it. Go right to DamonaHoffman.com/program, and you can get the lowest rates available now on our signature group coaching program, the last one of the year. The links to both will be in the show notes. I hope you loved episode 474 of Dates and Mates as much as I loved bringing it to you. But if you love something, you got to share it. Help us get the word out. Maybe even leave us a 5-star review and tell us what you're enjoying about the all new season. Many of you have DM'd me and emailed me saying that you love the new format, you love the new segments. Tell me what you love about Dates and Mates when you leave us a review. We will be back again next Tuesday with our second All Dear Damona of the season. And we also have a special guest who will be joining us, one of my former clients, Sue, who will be sharing her story. So send your questions in. The DMs are open at Damona Hoffman on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can leave me a voicemail or text by phone at 424-246-6255. Until next week, I wish you happy dating.